David O. Russell's last film, The Fighter, earned 7 Oscar nominations, and 2 of its stars, Kristen Bell and Melissa Leo, wound up winning Academy Awards. Now, with Silver Linings Playbook, he's upped the ante with 8 Oscar nominations. What's even more remarkable is that this is the first film in 31 years to receive Oscar nominations in each of the 4 acting categories. Bradley Cooper stars as a recently released mental patient who moves back with his parents, played by Robert De Niro and Jackie Weaver, and Jennifer Lawrence livens the plot as an equally troubled young widow. I'm very pleased that it has brought the talented David O. Russell to our show today. Hello.
Hello, WNYC. It's nice to be here.
This is based on a novel of the same name by Matthew Quick. When did the project come your way?
5 years ago, almost 6 years ago.
So was it after The Fighter?
Before The Fighter. I wrote the script. I adapted the script once before The Fighter. And I thought I would make the film before The Fighter.
And then what happened?
Well, you know, financing did not come together, and I had to wait. And then I got the blessing of making The Fighter, which I'm very grateful for. And that really helped me reset my course, because I think I'd had a few floundering years. I started to really focus on certain kinds of emotions and families and stories that The Fighter really coalesced for me. And then that helped me rewrite Silver Linings Playbook with a sharper eye for the details of the neighborhood and the family and the emotion. But the reason I took the book 5 years ago from Sidney Pollack and Anthony Minghella, who both died the year they gave me the book, which just shocked me, was that I have a son who has faced many mood disorder and learning issues, and the biggest challenge we've ever faced. So I was looking for a story that I felt could sort of talk about that world and families in that world, and help anybody who's faced such things feel part of the world, you know, including my son.
So, and you gave him a part in this film.
He had to earn, audition, and do well at school to earn a role. He had a role where Robert De Niro chases him in his pajamas as the nosy. It was good for him for a change to be the one instead of having the episode being the one who was coming to inquire about the episode.
Now, I've always wondered about adapting things. Is it easier to put together a film where you've adapted from somebody else's material, or is it easier because you're later going to go on to direct if it just is your original story?
I think they both can work. It's hard to keep finding inspiring stories, so if you can find one by any means necessary, you're fortunate. This was helpful because I liked the voice of the novelist, Matthew Quick. I liked the components of the book spoke to me. A very specific neighborhood, a guy trying to embrace, whose life has completely fallen apart in the age of 35, trying to reconstruct his life by embracing what you could call a cliched positive attitude. But, you know, actually, if you've struggled or been down these troubled streets, it's not a cliche. It's not at all. It's very important and essential to try to keep your chin up. But that silver linings idea, that the fact that he lived with his father was a fanatic, and I made that father a bookmaker, and I decided to choose the 2008 football season of those specific games.
Did you give the father OCD as well?
Yeah, I made him more OCD. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the book, he's different. He's more shut down, and he's just more obsessed with the Eagles. In this case, I made it specific to certain Eagles fans I knew, and it seemed that the apple hadn't fallen far from the tree.
Now, you've written the screenplays for most of your films. That was the standard approach for most European directors, but less so in this country. What advantages does that give you?
You tell the story from your own heart, and you have an intimacy with it that is very personal to you, that informs every part of the filmmaking.
Do you like the writing as much as the directing?
Yes, I think that's where you begin to make the film. That's where the filmmaking starts.
This is a story that has 2 damaged people who are still in the process of suffering, or is it grieving?
Yeah, I think that's very well said. They've both had an enormous amount of loss.
And that usually provides more potential for something tragic than something comic. But this is a film that has a lot of funny scenes in it. And you've said, I live somewhere between It's a Wonderful Life and Goodfellas. Although this isn't really Goodfellas.
Well, nobody's getting pistol whipped or kicked by Joe Pesci.
And you are covering a very sensitive topic, mental illness. Some people might be concerned that you're getting laughs out of it. Mm. Bradley Cooper's character, Pat Solitano, is bipolar and has mood swings. And as I said, his father, played by Robert De Niro, is OCD. I remember a lot of people got offended by the stammering in A Fish Called Wanda. I haven't read too many complaints about the fact that you got laughs out of mental illness here.
Well, because for me, the approach was always to be real and emotional and respectful. I was coming from the point of view of my son, and so I was being very respectful of him and all the families I've met through the school, the Devereaux Glenholm School where he goes. There's no way that I was going to be disrespectful. I wasn't trying to go for laughs. I wasn't trying to make a comedy per se. You know, I think there's a lot of funny things in The Fighter, but they all come from the same kind of, you're just trying to come from an authentic place. I find authentic behavior funny, which is very different than jokey, trying to be jokey funny. Mm-hmm.
There are no one-liners in this film.
No.
They're funny situations.
Yes, and emotions. And just, I think when characters commit 100% to who they are, and if they're very specific people, they are inherently very amusing to me. They're both emotional and amusing. And no, there was nothing like, there were no beat downs like in Goodfellas, but Robert De Niro did beat down Bradley Cooper during a bipolar episode, which is the most disturbing scene in the film in some ways.
Well, you also, I think casting is important in affecting that balance. When you have somebody like Robert De Niro who knows how to be funny and at the same time can do really serious things. Bradley Cooper, I can't imagine anyone other than Bradley Cooper or Jennifer Lawrence in these roles. And yet I understand that they weren't the first people you had in mind for the parts. Vince Vaughn and Zooey Deschanel?
Yeah, that was 5 years ago. Yeah, 6 years ago.
And then I heard a lot of other people wanted it. Well, these are wonderful roles.
Thanks. They were roles where we had people who very much wanted to play them. And if you go from your gut, the right people play the right roles at the right time.
Well, what led you to cast Bradley Cooper? What did you see that made him right for you as Pat?
He has a vulnerability and an intensity. I saw him in Wedding Crashers, and he was very angry-seeming there. And when I met him, he described to me that he had been an angrier person who had been 30 pounds heavier and might have had substance issues, that his life was changing.
So this is typecasting.
Well, I knew that he had dementia that he hadn't put on screen. And that's a good secret weapon for a director when people can say, Bradley Cooper I don't get it. And I'm like, well, you will when you see the movie. And that's how I felt about Amy Adams in The Fighter and even Christian Bale in The Fighter. Mark Wahlberg is a wonderful actor who you expect to be authentic in the role of Mickey Ward. But I don't know that you ever expected Christian Bale to be warm or as vulnerable or as goofy as he was, or Amy Adams to be as tough as she was. So likewise with Bradley Cooper here, I don't know that people expected him to be as soulful and vulnerable and dimensional.
Had you ever met Jennifer Lawrence before you cast her?
I met her when we were at the Oscars for The Fighter. She was the girl from Winter's Bone, and I never recognized her because in Winter's Bone she was cooking and killing squirrels in the woods, and she would dress up like a Barbie at the Oscars, and I'd say, that's Jennifer Lawrence, and I would say hello to her. But I never really had a conversation with her until we Skyped her audition from her parents' home in Louisville, Kentucky.
And she's described herself as a terrible auditioner. So I guess she must have done well enough for you over Skype.
She's a very real. She's very real and unpretentious.
Had you ever done an audition like that over Skype before?
That was my first one.
In the classic days, they bring the actress in for a screen test.
Yes.
And everybody is stunned by how brilliant
yes.
she is.
Yes, that's what this was, because I had to show it to the boss, Harvey Weinstein. He said, I think she's too young. I said, well, let me just show you this. And I showed it to him on my desktop computer, my laptop computer. Why do I keep calling him? I don't have a desktop computer.
And she is rather young. You wouldn't know it here. Had she been in the Hunger Games at that point?
She had, but had not come out yet.
She said that she didn't understand Tiffany initially, and that's why she wanted the part.
Mm.
She said, I was very confused by her. She was just kind of this mysterious enigma to me because she didn't really fit any basic kind of character profile. Somebody who's very forceful and bullheaded is normally very insecure, but she isn't. Did you write the part that way, or is that something she brought to it?
She has. It's very funny. She said that to me, and she said, I never met anybody like that. And I looked at her, and I said, I have. Meaning her. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm not bullheaded, which is hilarious. She can be, she's tough. She's a tough in a smart way. She's very smart, very tough, and vulnerable. She has all those things.
My guest is David O. Russell, who both wrote and directed Silver Linings Playbook, a film that's up for 8 Academy Awards. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Is it just coincidental that you've tended to have a number of troubled and often neurotic characters in your films, from Jeremy Davis' character in Spanking the Monkey on to Ben Stiller's in Flirting with Disaster? Is there something that draws you to those kinds of characters?
I think they're interesting. I think what's happened, they're filled with conflict and they're filled with intensity and emotion. These characters are my favorites in this film. I would say starting with The Fighter, it's been a new phase for me of filmmaking, of being very grounded in very emotional, authentic stories. And that's something I'm very pleased to be doing. So that's what I would say. This is like a companion to The Fighter, Silver Linings. The two characters Pat and Tiffany play are my favorite characters because they're the kind who walk into a dinner party, and because of their own struggles, they wear everything on their sleeves. They don't know how to be guileful. It's not in their nature. So therefore, they speak very frankly about their problems, their medications, their challenges, their opinions in a very unvarnished way, which forces everybody else to be unpretentious and unvarnished, which is what I like about them, even though that's uncomfortable for some of the other people in the scenes.
And she says of Bradley Cooper's character that he has poor social skills, but of course she does as well.
No, he says that to her, but they both.
And both of them have a lot of psychological jargon down, but they're still pretty clueless about themselves.
Well, because what happens is if you've been in a hospital for several months, as Bradley Cooper is, you've been told that you need to work on your social skills. And he's a little Asperger's-y too. You know, he kind of meets somebody and just, he'll say what he's not supposed to say. He'll say, if they say, don't ask her about the death of her husband, he'll say, how did your husband die? And then he'll say, you look nice. I'm not flirting with you. Well, I didn't think you were. I'm just practicing because my wife, I would never express that she looked good, so I want to do that more. I'm practicing.
He also stares at people a lot.
Yes, he stares at her certainly.
Well, she's somebody we all would stare at. How do you prepare for this film? Did you do any research? Did you talk to people who were bipolar about how they reacted to things?
The fortunate thing about becoming involved or getting on the board of the Glenn Holm School in Connecticut and going through that journey with our son Matthew is that I meet many, many families who have kids who have these issues, and I meet many parents who are very high, very successful professionals, and you sit down, you have dinner with them, and then you hear that they have struggled with bipolarity, and you hear their stories. So I've heard many, many stories from people personally that you would at first glance never suspect. And then people have come forward to me since the film's come out. Movie stars, civilians, they come forward and they say, my brother, my uncle, my dad, my sister, it's something we haven't spoken about. Thank you. We can talk about it. And I've been through this. And they're wonderful people if they work at it and they get it right.
On the other hand, you've said that The Fighter wasn't about fighting, and this film isn't about bipolarity or football. And football does, or at least fans, play a major role. The obsession that people in the Philadelphia area have for the Eagles, to the point where even Pat's shrink shows up as a crazed Eagles fan. It's complicated in that way. Did that make it harder to market because people just saw it as complex? Is that why it was hard to get financing in the first place?
Maybe. I mean, I always approach them as stories about people. It's just, the movie's really about people and emotions. It's about family, people, and emotions, and finding some uplift through their adversity. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe because, listen, you're lucky to make any motion pictures, Leonard, and if you can make a picture that's personal and specific and emotional, you're triply lucky.
Dancing plays a big part in the film. Had either Bradley Cooper or Jennifer Lawrence done much dancing before?
Not really. And so they were very much beginners, and I watched them go from 0 to 60, and they got to know each other very quickly because we only had 33 days to make the movie, and they had to rehearse a week before we started. And they got very intimate very quickly by rehearsing with our wonderful choreographer, Mandy Moore. I had to create a dance with her and them that reflected the personalities of the characters and their issues and their musics.
And that they'd be able to do. I mean, the two stars of the actors had never danced before, and they had to learn how to dance. I guess an actor once told me, when I asked about how wonderfully she sang, had she ever sung before, she said, no, but I acted like I was a singer, and so I became a singer. You use the subjective camera here, especially when Bradley and Jennifer's characters first meet. Is that something you plan out in advance? Did you storyboard those scenes?
Yes. I knew I wanted to be intimate with the emotions of the characters. I wanted you to feel the intensity of who they are and that you couldn't hide from it. And sometimes the world is rather intense to those people. So if you're in their faces and their eyes, you can feel that intensity.
And then music is important to this film. You use Led Zeppelin, Bob Dylan, Monster Mash, The Moon of Manicura, Stevie Wonder. What goes into the process of figuring out what to use when?
Frank Sinatra. Hmm. You have your cherished, beloved music, and you use it in a treasured way for the emotion of the scenes. Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan, Girl from the North Country, is a very beautiful, emotional song, and it happened to be the right one for when they really bond and they begin their dance rehearsals. I love the music. You have to love the music you put into the film. And then each character, in a way, has a different music. The Sinatra, that's a very melancholic version of Have Yourself a Very Merry Christmas. And that's Robert De Niro's
and
music.
Then we have this song that plays a key role in the story. Just one more thing before you go. You already had a script for this film written before you did The Fighter. You have another script in the can that you've always wanted to do?
Yeah, I have two things that I've been cooking up. One of them I think we're going to start doing in March.
Well, meanwhile, good luck with Silver Linings Playbook. Up for 8 Oscars. David O. Russell wrote and directed them, and he is nominated in the directing category. It's been a great pleasure talking with you.
Good talking to you. Thank you so much for having me.